Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Double Elvis. Blood on the Tracks is a production of iHeartRadio and Double Elvis. Brian Wilson was a musical genius and one of the greatest songwriters of all time. He caught melodies like they were waves. He bottled good vibrations like no one else. And he picked up bad vibrations too. He broke down. He tripped hard. He didn't just hear music, he heard voices. He tried to lose those voices by making a teenage symphony to God called Smile. But somewhere along the way, Brian Wilson lost his mind instead. This is his story.
Rhonda Mawson here, once again. I can't believe we've come to the end of these Brian Wilson tapes and to the end of this project. All these final bits and pieces are from 2004. I think they're all studio tapes from the album Brian Wilson Presents Smile, which, of course, is the resurrected version of the record he abandoned nearly 40 years earlier. They're all pretty well cataloged and most contain material that ended up on the record, but there was one tape I found that has just been left. I'll play it for you now. Here we go.
Okay, everyone. Can you all hear me in there? Good. Let's try some takes. I have some history with this. This song was a tough one, but we can get it. You can get it. Today. Sometimes history isn't a bad thing. History can make you wise. It can make you right your wrongs. Everything that has taken place in the past is a preparation for the opportunities to come. You can change your future using your history. Don't be afraid of this song. Don't be afraid of the things you've heard about it. Don't be afraid of anything. We have to face stuff like this as songwriters and musicians, as people. Okay? Fight. Mrs. O'Leary's cow, take one. Give me everything you've got on this. I want everybody's best shot. Let's get some blood on the tracks.
Chapter 10. Brian Wilson is smiling again.
Good morning. This is BRIAN-FM coming to you live from the temporal lobe. It's another beautiful day out there. The sun is shining and the sea is warm.
I wake up and it's early. Melinda is sleeping next to me. The kids are asleep too. It's the first day of the rest of my life. I can feel it. I've been playing it cool, but my mind has been whirling around and around. Melinda could tell last night, I think. I was quiet, reserved, she said. But this morning I feel okay. No, I feel better than okay.
Good.
There was my life before all this happened and my life after it. Was it better before? Probably not. Will it be better after? I don't know. Maybe. But then again, maybe not. It's hard to tell with a mind like mine. You just never know. I've learned to play it by ear like a good song, to go with it all.
I have some history with this.
I've spent my whole life scared. My whole life under pressure from someone or something. I don't think that will ever go away, but you can manage it. You can deal with it.
Don't be afraid.
You can't stop a lot of things in this world, but you can live with them.
Don't be afraid of anything.
I walk softly down the back staircase and into the kitchen. There's three pills on the counter. I take my usual amount with a cool glass of water. I wash the glass, dry it, and place it back in the cupboard. It's deadly quiet. I look at the clock on the wall. 5:19. I breathe out and mutter to myself, "We'll be doing it in under 5 hours. We'll be in there." My mind pictures a control booth, a drum kit, a microphone, then a fireman's hat.
This song's a tough one.
I swallow hard. Then close my eyes. I breathe in, then out, in, then out. I know where I'm going. I know what I want to do. It's strange how your body, or your mind, or both, give you these little ideas, these little thoughts that all of a sudden you have to carry out. Impulse. That's what it is. That's what I can feel.
History can make you wise.
I make my way to the back door, and as I do, I walk past the calendar on the wall. Today's date is circled, and written there it says, "Recording Day 1. I don't dare look at it. I just keep walking. Outside, the sun is hot already. The birdsong fills my ears, and I close my eyes as I walk down the perfectly manicured grass. I'm barefoot, and it feels like carpet under my toes. I thought I'd feel worse than this. I'm worried this is just the calm before the storm. I've seen that before. Felt like that before. But I have to admit, this time it does feel different.
Don't be afraid of this song.
Finally, the feeling of grass under my feet gives way to the feeling of sand. It's cool and soft. I stop and dig my feet into it. It's reassuring, like a heavy blanket or cup of cocoa. I stop and stare at the horizon where the Pacific Ocean meets the sky. There's no one else around. The light dances off the water and there's a light breeze that drifts around me. Everything feels calm, settled, like there's no more worry. The show's all over. Everything has happened. Like watching an old movie you love or hearing an old song.
Don't be afraid of the things you've heard about it.
I'm not really going to do this, am I? I think to myself. I feel nervous. How could I not? But I feel happy, too. I waste a bit of time looking up and down the beach. Then I mutter, "Okay, come on, Brian." Smile was once again appearing in my mind more and more. And this feeling, this idea, just grew and grew with it. I walk up the beach and begin to slowly climb up the rocks on the far side. I go right up to the top. When I get there, I'm panting. I stand and look at the whole beach. You can see it all from up there. It's like I'm on top of the world.
History can make you wise.
I look down and see the ocean lapping at the rocks below. Without a second thought, I grab the shirt I'm wearing and pull it off. I take two steps back and jump as high as I can.
You can change your future using your history.
I feel like I'm dancing in the air. It's just me, the sun above, and the Pacific below. I close my eyes as I plummet down at an almost violent speed. But as I do, the silence of the morning is broken. I hear someone above me screaming, "Brian!" I try to look up, but it's already too late. The water crashes around my body. It engulfs me entirely. It's cold and dark and silent as I shoot down further into it. After a few seconds, I stop and hang there, suspended in time, completely alone, completely still. Then I push up, further and further, higher and higher. I'm like a shooting star streaming across the sky. A light starts to appear up above. I put my hand out and reach for it. Any second I'll touch it, that welcoming, warm light. I make a grab for it and crash out of the water and back into reality. I gulp in deep breaths and feel the sun on my face again.
Give me everything.
Woo! I shout. I feel alive, like I've just shed my skin or something.
Give me everything you've got.
I look up and see who had screamed my name only moments earlier. I see her straight away. It's Melinda, shouting some more as she sprints into the ocean, still in her pajamas. "Brian!" she's shouting. "What the hell are you doing?" She's gasping for breath as the water splashes all around her. Then she dives in and swims with the speed of an Olympian towards me. When she reaches me, she asks, "What the fuck is going on?" "I felt like a swim," I tell her.
"Don't be afraid.
You haven't been in the sea in 40 years, and now you feel like a swim?" Her anger turns to laughter in less time than it takes for her to complete the sentence. And then she throws her arms around me and tells me we should get dry. "Just do one more thing for me," I ask. A smile creeps across my face. 5 minutes later, we're both on top of the rocks. My shirt is where I left it. "Okay, after three," she shouts. "One, two, three." Then we both jump. Sky above us, the ocean below, and freedom all around.
Chilly London town. This is BRIAN-FM broadcasting to you from the English capital. Watch out for those showers out there. They can be alarming.
Sometimes I open doors in here, you know, inside my mind. And I can't bear to look behind them. But I do it anyway. I don't know why. Sometimes they're almost impossible to close. You unlock memories, thoughts, or feelings, and they're too much to take.
Can you all hear me in there?
But sometimes you can look back on something and get closure.
Sometimes history isn't a bad thing.
Sometimes you can find redemption, but you have to find it for yourself. No one is going to give it to you. You can't find it in a movie or a song. You can only find it inside yourself. Sure, someone else can bring it out of you. They can help you get there, but In the end, you're the one that has to find it and grab it.
You can change your future using your history.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, I knew I had to forgive myself. That was the only way out. After standing at the side of the stage at Radio City Music Hall with Elton John, watching George Martin speak so positively about me, and then later spontaneously playing Heroes and Villains at Scott Bennett's house, I felt like my relationship with Smile was turning. Turning into something less negative. Melinda had encouraged that too, so in the summer of 2004, I went in the studio and we recut it. We redid the whole album from scratch.
Okay.
Was I nervous? God, I was terrified. But it wasn't that simple. It took time. Things had to happen before we got there. First, I included a couple Smile songs in my regular set list when touring.
Don't be afraid of this song.
Then we had the idea to perform a live show. Smile, in its entirety. Live. We decided on London. I have often said that that city is my spiritual home. I love it there.
I have some history.
So there I was, standing in the large auditorium at the Royal Festival Hall. It was winter and it was cold outside, but the hall was right on the water, right on the Thames. It felt like it fit Smile somehow, the closeness of the water. I kept singing this song by Three Dog Night, Easy to Be Hard. That's what this whole experience was like. It's been hard, but it's been easy. It's easy to say yes, to do some shows, getting on a plane, to rehearsing, but it's hard to actually walk out on stage on the night. Are you ready? Asked Darian Sahaneja. Darian is in my band. He was in the Wonderments too. If you know my story, you know we're connected. I told him I was ready to go and we walked to the stage for the rehearsal.
We have to face stuff like this.
That's when it started. The noise was deafening. A wailing fire alarm sounded. Its presence was so large, but it was invisible to your eyes, so your brain has trouble with it. I turned to Darian and shouted, "It's fate!" He smiled, but he could tell I was nervous.
I have some history with this.
They eventually shut it off. The stage manager, Philip, apologized profusely in the way only the British can. He told us the system was only a few years old and had never done this before. Okay, fine, no problem. 10 minutes later, I was on stage as Darian counted us in on Heroes and Villains. Okay, 1, 2, 3, he yelled. But the number 4 was drowned out. It was the fire alarm again.
This song's a tough one.
So loud it rattled my chest. I looked over at Darian. I'm sure he could tell I was getting nervous. They finally shut it off again. But now there was this tension in the room.
Can you all hear me in there?
15 minutes later, after a few uninterrupted songs, Darian shouted out to the band that we were ready to do
Fight, Mrs. O'Leary's Cow.
I sat behind the piano. You know what would be funny, I said, if the alarm went off during... But my words were cut short as that loud noise returned to the hall. Everyone froze and exchanged awkward glances.
This song.
The stage manager was back and apologizing once again. He told us to take 5 while they worked it out. Darian glanced at his watch. Well, he knew we were running out of time.
Everything that has taken place in the past.
He followed me to my dressing room where I sat with Melinda. Look, he said, I'm getting worried. It's one thing to rehearse in our normal space, but we need time in this room, especially for a gig of this magnitude. There was an uneasy silence. We can't cancel, Melinda responded. We might have to postpone, Darian said.
Taking place in the past.
Another uneasy pause. The tension was building in that room. I sat in silence while the other two looked exasperated. That exasperation turned to anger as yet again the alarm went off. It was even louder backstage. Jesus Christ, Melinda shouted. But then she stopped and looked at her watch. It had been exactly 15 minutes since the last alarm. She took a look at me. She stared right at me, intensely. Then she shook her head and marched out of the room, slamming the door behind her. Moments later, the alarm stopped.
You can change your future.
Then Melinda reappeared with Joey, one of our roadies. She was angry. Brian, she barked. Shit. Can you tell me and Darian what Joey is being paid to do today? Joey's eyes were wide, even wider than when I offered him $1,000 that morning to find out where the alarm test system was for the Royal Festival Hall.
Don't be afraid.
To be a roadie, I said tentatively. But the game was up. I sheepishly explained that I paid Joey to set the alarm off every 15 minutes during rehearsal. Everyone out, she shouted at the room and then looked at me and said, not you.
Don't be afraid.
Once we were alone, she was soft, kind, and encouraging. She told me that if I didn't want to do the gig, I should have just said so. I explained that I did want to do the gig, but that I was scared.
Don't be afraid.
I was worried how it would all go. I held her hand and I didn't want to let go. Do you remember this morning, she smiled, the sea? How long was it? 40 years? I remembered the water, how it felt, the early morning sun, that feeling of calm control. I took a deep breath and I looked into Melinda's eyes. I was ready, actually ready, this time. That evening, I was on stage in front of a packed crowd. My band was singing Our Prayer right at the start of the show. The lights were down low. You could hear a pin drop.
Let's try some takes.
There was a brief silence when we finished singing, and then the snare hit like a starting pistol, and we launched into Heroes and Villains.
Give me everything you've got.
The stage lights burst into radiant, bright white light. I could feel it on my skin, like the sun in the middle of summer, warm and forgiving. I always hated being on stage, but tonight I felt like I was in my old chair at home. As I looked up during the first few lines of the song, for a second, I thought I saw my dad and Phil Spector. They looked happy for me.
Don't be afraid of anything.
I stared at their big grins, in their big eyes. I blinked in the bright light. When I looked back, they were gone.
We'll be right back after this
word.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
After the show at the Royal Festival Hall, we kept touring the album. No fire alarms this time. It was a success. Reviews, sales, all of it. A rousing success.
Good.
I felt like a chapter of my life, or perhaps the chapter of my life, was coming to an end.
History can make you wise.
But it wasn't over. Melinda, Darian, and a record producer named Mark Lynette were all trying to convince me to record a new version of Smile, the one we were performing on stage. It took me 2 weeks to give them an answer. We went into the studio in April 2004, Sunset Sound, to begin with. That was one of the studios we cut the original Smile in. When they suggested that place, I actually shuddered. But like with the show or going into the ocean, I wanted to face things head on. To stand up for once, to confront the fear.
You can change your future using your history.
So we went in. Sometimes being afraid is like bordering on excitement. It's good scary.
We have to face stuff like this.
Smile had gone from scary scary to good scary. But with everything that had happened between me and that project, it was bound to be hard in places.
This song was a tough one.
At Sunset Sound, Darian and Mark had assembled a 10-piece band. Most of the guys had been on stage at the Royal Festival Hall that first night. They could both tell I was nervous. I couldn't even hold a glass of water in my hand without shaking. Brian, they asked me, are you sure you want to record this song today? I nodded. Yeah, I was sure. Head on.
Give me everything you've got.
The song we were due to record was Mrs. O'Leary's Cow, otherwise known as Fire. My mind rewound through flickering images of burning tapes and LA fires. I looked down at the chair I was sitting in, saw that my hand was gripped so tightly around the arm that my knuckles were completely white. I closed my eyes and tried to breathe, but all I could think about was that session back in 1966. The session that broke Smile. The session that broke me. The fire. Fire everywhere. Just burning everything. Burning Chicago. Burning Los Angeles. Brian, came Mark's voice. You okay?
Okay.
I'm fine, I stuttered. Let's go. The moment I stepped inside the studio room, I could feel it. The heat.
Don't be afraid.
Then I could smell it. I thought it was a joke someone was playing on me at first. I could smell smoke.
Don't be afraid.
I turned around and saw the cello player, Anne, smoking. What the hell are you doing? I asked. She laughed and took another puff. Darian asked me what was wrong. I spun around to look at him and saw he was wearing a plastic fireman's hat.
Don't be afraid of the things you've heard about it.
I froze. Then the other string players pulled out pieces of wood and started to chant, "Burn it all down. Burn it all down."
It's past. It's a preparation.
I looked through the window to see if Mark was still in the recording booth, but I couldn't see him in there. The whole room was full of smoke. Just this glass box of smoke. It was so thick you couldn't see anything. Then the smoke spilled out between the edges of the glass and into the studio, thicker and thicker. I fell to my knees and crawled forward. I shouted at Darian to get down out of the smoke, but he was silent.
"Don't be afraid of this song."
The chant was getting louder now. "Burn it all down. Burn it all down." It was all I could hear. I crawled into the smoke, praying for a way out. I gasped for air as sweat began to drip down my face. Then I tasted it in my mouth. It was salty and hot. I tried to spit it out, but it seemed to only get worse.
"Can you all hear me in there?"
My mouth was full of sweat. I tried to get rid of it, but it was like a constant stream, as if someone had put an ocean in my mouth and now it was spilling out. Sweat everywhere. I was coughing. The smoke and the spit made it unable to breathe. I thought that was it. I thought I was going to be seeing Elvis soon.
"Don't be afraid."
But then I saw a tiny light to the left of me. I made for it, crawling on my knees like a child. The light got bigger and bigger, and then I saw what it actually was. It was the door. "Darian," I shouted. "I found a way out." Nothing. No reply. I pushed the door. At first it didn't budge, but I pushed harder, and after spitting that salty liquid from my mouth, I gave it a final shove with all my strength and it burst open.
"Don't be afraid of anything."
I crashed through it and out into the parking lot. I opened my eyes and looked up. Melinda was standing in front of me. Her dress burst into flames, and then the flames spread to her hair, her face, and within seconds she was reduced to ashes in front of me. I screamed as the building behind her burst into flames too. The fire roared and roared, and then, "Brian," came Mark's voice. "You okay?"
"Okay."
My eyes opened. I was back. Back from being in here. Lost.
"Okay."
I was in the control booth at Sunset Sound. My eyes widened as I readjusted to the light. "You look like you were lost for a minute," he said. "I'm fine," I said. "Let's go." We recorded Fire, there and then, all done and dusted very quickly. No Hollywood theatrics, we just cut the track. That's what the whole album was like in 2004. It only took us a couple weeks to actually record, a few more to mix, but the recording was pretty straight down the line. After we cut the song that day, everyone was heading home and I was left alone in the studio. Darian came in and thanked me for the day. "Can I have the song on CD?" I asked. "Right now?" he asked. I nodded. "Okay, no problem. I can just burn you one," he said, and then started clicking the mouse on his computer. My legs started to shake in anticipation. I wanted to hold it, to have Smile in my hands, to know that it physically existed in the world. He handed it to me. The plastic was warm and shiny. I stared at it, my face distorted in the reflection. "Can I have a moment?" I asked him. "Of course," he responded. And then I was left alone again. I took the CD and held it to my chest. I was trembling. Then I cried. I cried and cried and cried. I cried for Smile. I cried for Dennis and Carl. I cried for my dad, and I cried for Phil Spector. But most of all, I cried for me.
Thank you.
6:43 a.m. That's when it starts. The ticking clock. That's when the countdown begins. In truth, it's been counting down for days, but he's been ignoring it. Coping mechanisms can help you do that. But sooner or later, you have to face it. Sooner or later, you have to jump in. Brian Wilson gets up in the pale morning light and sits hunched over on the edge of his bed. 14 hours to go. Downstairs, he examines some newspapers still left on the countertop from a few weeks back. One shows an image of George W. Bush becoming the President of the United States for the second time. Brian starts to name the presidents in his head. Anything to forget about what he's doing today. 13 hours to go. Brian's wife, Melinda, walks into the room and smiles. "Have you decided yet?" she asks. "Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton. Brian, did you hear me?" Brian looks up. "I haven't decided," he replies. He checks his watch. 12 hours, 58 minutes to go. The day drags. It's slow and vacant. Brian can barely call it a day at all since he's spending it waiting for what's going to happen. When the evening finally ambles into view, Brian stands in front of the full-length mirror on the inside of his bedroom wardrobe door. He's wearing a jet-black Tom Ford tux, but that's not what he's looking at. He's staring right into his own eyes. And the voices appear again, and they drift in and out. "You're a genius, yet this is your first Grammy nomination? Phil Spector had 4. Imagine if you don't win." He slams the door shut. His reflection is gone, and so are the voices. He makes his way downstairs. 2 hours and 34 minutes to go. He gets to the Staples Center early, but in his mind, he's not present at all. As he nears his dressing room, he's stopped by one of the Grammy's producers. "Had Brian decided on the song he was going to perform yet?" Brian responds by muttering something about good vibrations, and then something about fire, and then Brian has left the conversation. The door slams behind him as he walks into his dressing room. 1 hour and 58 minutes left to go. Inside the dressing room, Brian sits in the corner with his little portable radio. The golden oldies coming from the small speaker give him comfort. He closes his eyes and listens. "We have to decide the song, Brian," Melinda finally says. Brian shuffles in his seat. He wasn't ready yet. "Brian," she shouts, "please, this is a simple choice. It's just one song or the other. I think it should be Good Vibrations, but it doesn't really matter." Melinda's patience is waning as she watches her husband ignore her. "Brian, make a fucking decision." "Nothing." "Brian," she screams. "The fuck is the problem?" "The problem," Brian breaks his silence. "The problem is that he's been trying to prove himself for all these years, to these people, to himself, to his old man, trying to prove that he's as good as Phil Spector or Mike or any fucking one. And this here now, this is the end of it all. Smile? How long has he been thinking about this thing? How long has it dominated his life? And now the record is out, it's done, and what, he's just supposed to say goodbye?" Melinda throws her arms around Brian as the tears well up under his eyes. At that moment, the dressing room door opens. It's the producer of the show again, the one they saw in the hallway. Brian turns to her and breathlessly tells her that they're going to play Fire, not Good Vibrations. There's 34 minutes to go. Brian and Melinda are taken to their seats, where Brian watches Queen Latifah introduce the show. He looks around the crowd. There are faces he half recognizes. Usher, Kanye West, Jennifer Lopez. They all make him feel out of place. He's too old for this. He's a dinosaur. He just wasn't made for these times, and he should leave straight away. He gets up to go, but Melinda drags him back down. 3 minutes to go. Brian's heart pumps quickly, his lips dry. He starts to fiddle with his tux. Queen Latifah announces the next award is for Best Rock Instrumental Performance, and Jeff Beck is here to present it. Brian's head starts to spin. Jeff Beck strolls onto the stage, waving. Wilson feels like the room is rumbling beneath him. And this is it. This is success or failure. A happy ending or another bitter conclusion. 30 seconds to go. "Okay," Jeff Beck says into the small microphone. 20 seconds. "The winner of Best Rock Instrumental Performance." 10 seconds. He fiddles with the envelope. Brian watches and screams internally. "Open it, just fucking open it." 5 seconds. 4 is 3. Wow, okay. 2. It's one. Everything stops. Brian is still. He knows. The winner, Jeff Beck says, is Brian Wilson with Fire, Mrs. O'Leary's cow. The crowd screams. Brian's heart leaps up in his chest. Melinda squeezes his hand and then pulls him in close. As Brian makes his way to the stage, he is bathed in incandescent light. And finally, it's over. 30 minutes later, Brian Wilson is back in his dressing room with his radio on, alone. He's got a few minutes before he's needed on stage to perform his Grammy-winning song. He listens to the crackly old FM sound, and then he reaches over to the dial and turns it off. For the first time in a long time, there is nothing. No talking, no music, no static. And for the briefest of moments, there's silence from all the blood on the tracks. Blood on the Tracks is produced by Double Elvis in partnership with iHeartRadio. It's hosted and executive produced by me, Jake Brennan. Also executive produced by Brady Sadler. Zeth Lundy is lead editor and producer. This episode was written by Ben Burrow. Mixing and sound design by Colin Fleming. Additional music and score elements by Ryan Spraker. This season features Chris Anzalone as the voice of Brian Wilson. Sources for this episode are available at doubleelvis.com on the Blood on the Tracks series page. Follow Double Elvis on Instagram at Double Elvis and on Twitch at Disgraceland Talks. And you can talk to me, per usual, on Instagram and Twitter at Disgraceland Pod. Rock and roll.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills, We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.